Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. I'm Chris Danis, your host of Voices of Women. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation, and we've been presenting events for women in Seattle area since 1993. Our mission is to empower the feminine dreams and spirit within all of us through authentic, intimate, transformative, and healing experiences where we share our stories, acknowledge our wisdom, and transform our personal and collective consciousness. So we're now into our 27th year. Our annual conference is coming up soon in Seattle, February 15th to the 17th. You can attend 1 or 2 days, experience transformational workshops on creative art, spirituality, body, mind, spirit, healing, movement, manifestation, and much more. It's a place where you can be witnessed, valued, and inspired. So I invite you to check out our schedule at womanofwisdom.org. Our theme this year is Spark Our Creative Fire, Dance in Power and Beauty. And as I said, you can go all weekend or you can just go for one day, one full day. So also, I just want to share that we have a Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Women of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. You can check that out on our website as well, womanofwisdom.org. My guest today is Jan Jorgensen. Jan Jorgensen has led workshops, sacred tours, sacred sound circles, and coaching programs for women's empowerment for over a decade. She is certified in the Uncovering the Voice Method, has recorded and performed in concerts and studio, and taught at the Sound and Consciousness Institute. She founded the SOAR program and the Be the Light coaching program and is a certified music practitioner, public health nurse, and TV host. She's presenting a workshop at the conference on Saturday, February 16th. It's called The Arts, Our Door to the Divine. So welcome, Jan.
Hey, thanks, Chris, for having me on today. Great introduction. Thank you.
Yes, well, I'm very excited to meet you in February, and I'm very excited about the workshop you're going to do, and we're going to talk about that topic. But first, let's start with your story. What drove you to your inward journey to find your creativity, your creative spark for art?
You know, I've probably always been artistic, and I raised three children, and my daughters and I often would be at the kitchen table making pictures with chocolate pudding and sewing costumes, and I did beautiful auction trees, and we decorated Barbies, and so it took many forms, but it wasn't until I parted ways with my husband, it was a beautiful divorce, that I began to see the importance of expressing my creative impulses and actually doing deep transformational healing through the art. So it was in my 50s, and it was a quest to say, who am I? And I knew it wasn't going to come in words or someone else telling me. So that began me picking up more singing, and all the different things brought me closer to myself and the types of things I'm doing today.
Yes, and you mentioned that, you know, this started in your 50s. I think that's very common. We kind of get that second life of what it is we're supposed to be doing. And that's one of the things we do at Women of Wisdom is exploring that. A lot of women are in transition at various ages in our lives. And even for people who are in the retirement age, they're like, okay, what's next? Like, we don't really retire. So I want to talk about the arts being a portal for something mm-hmm. that you talk about, for mm-hmm. entering the divine state mm-hmm. of creativity.
Well, I've read a lot of articles about artists that when they drop into their work, and if you're an artist, you know that time becomes frozen. You actually go into a state, you blink, and suddenly it's a few hours later, somebody wants you to do something and you've forgotten time. And they looked at the brain chemicals, and you actually, the brainwave patterns, you go into an altered state. So you're coming out of your logical, thought-oriented behaviors, and you can access something quite deep. And I've learned that I often say that artists are angels, because when you're in that zone and you're not thinking, you can access the truth and the beauty principle by being present through your heart. And by doing, by combining a little bit of meditation and some of the process tools that I use, you can access new pictures, new stories to your life book. And you have to go through that door, that zone, and we must honor ourselves as artists to set aside the time and the place and the ritual to do that. I'm just starting the book The Artist's Way, and I already tell that I can, just the first few pages, it was recommended to me, and I can recommend that to anybody who's questioning if they're an artist. That's not the question. It's how would you like to express yourself through the art? It is a spiritually affirming activity to do any art process.
Yeah, and that's a great book to explore that. Well, another question I have, because of Woman Wisdom being about honoring the divine feminine, how does that inform your work and your life now?
Well, after my divorce, I actually went through a process of deep questioning and inquiry of why am I here? What am I to do? And so Rudolf Steiner had this great exercise that you do not move until it is an authentic move related to the core of your being and who you are. So the first year after my divorce, I did quite a bit of meditating, and some of the archetype goddesses began to come to me actually as if true life beings. And they told me that I was here with my background in vocal work and singing and working with hospice patients at the bedside and understanding how to mitigate fear, that I was to then apply that towards women who are directed through their heart and their intuition to not be afraid, but to unveil their voices of truth. So I said, well, what is that? And I began studying scientifically the voice, the harmonic profiles of women who are afraid to speak their truth, and I began to see patterns, and then I worked deeply in meditation to develop certain processes using vocal techniques. So over the years, I developed many deep processes that honor the feminine, honoring what is she hearing and not being afraid to speak.
And that's going to be so perfect for our conference. I know you'll probably incorporate that in them because you're going to be doing meditation and, you know, moving people into that portal to be creative. So that's great. And now one of the other things that in your painting, you talk about intentional creativity. And so how do you incorporate intention in your creative processes?
Well, what I've learned is it's the same thing when you are speaking. You must be absolutely resolute and clear and aligned with what you are saying, your words, and what your intention is behind it. Then you have a clean outcome where other people can align and understand, and it actually moves energy, misunderstandings, misconceptions, assumptions. So then I learned that a lot of the things that I teach and do are hard, especially people who are beginners in consciousness and intention, to wrap around all these principles, which are pretty heady. But I started studying painting with Shiloh Sophia, the Color of Woman program, recently became a graduate, and she calls it the intentional creativity method. So we take an empty canvas and we make an intention. And the intention can be, I want to relax through painting. So you would just write or paint, I am relaxing. Over the last 6 months, I've learned how to express almost every archetype of human emotion by setting an intention, say jealousy. If an issue came up, the vibration of jealousy, I would just write, I release jealousy. And then you take colors and you just start painting. You start painting all the lifetimes that you've experienced, that all the issues in your lifetime, all the people. So it's a cathartic release, and the intention is to mitigate and dissolve and release any tendency for jealousy. So then you use your intention, you have a short meditation, and you think, what does a new me look like, or what would I like to express? And often it's in the form of a divine feminine profile. And there's a very simple pattern that Shiloh has taught us that pops up in my pictures. And it's like a goddess, but it's part me. It's always part me. And it's the being who's looking beyond that pattern, that vibration, that quagmire. And so by making that intention and painting through and releasing, because the colors themselves have energy, the movement, you can remove anger and rage with big movements and dappling. And so there's no rules. There's no perfect finish line. In fact, most of my paintings, I'd say, I don't care if anybody ever sees this. And that gives you the freedom to move through the intention to the finish line, which is a sense of peace around that intention.
Yeah, so you're talking about it being an experience versus, you know, I've got to paint something, or I'm in a class, go, what am I going to paint, and all that mental things that you actually put yourself into an experience. And now you're talking about energy. Let's talk about the energy work with the painting. When did you first get the glimpse of the power of, because you did mention like you shifting energy in this whole process you're doing. So how did that come about for you, and what does it look like?
Well, I began to, well, first of all, my great-grandmother was a matron of prayer, the power of prayer. And then I would hear my grandmother, Alice, say prayer can move mountains. And my mom would pray for her 8 children, and that is intention. So that energy, I think I picked up from my mother, that what you intend can move energy. So then I learned very profoundly when my kids were getting a little bit older, and I said, what should I do? I've been a professional singer and I've been a nurse. And someone said, well, why don't you do healing music at the bedside? I said, geez, I never heard about this, but instantly whole body chill. So for 6 years, I would be there. I would work with one client in hospice and sit at the bedside, and I would sing with them. And I realized over a period of time that sometimes it was almost as if this reality would unzip, and the shower of pure peace and light. And now I know I was entering the zone. But other times, say if I was playing my lyre and singing and I was worried that I wasn't playing the right note and not really opening, I learned at that point it wasn't what I was singing, it was what I was thinking behind the singing. What was my intention? So when I went in that zone, I learned to go into that zone intentionally all the time. Powerfully. And I said, I don't know what this is, but I got to figure out what this feeling, what this energy is, because it just filled me with light and joy. And being a nurse, I could look at a person and I could see, were they in pain? Were they breathing? And when I was in that zone, the patient would completely relax and everybody in the room. So I also had a cabaret show in San Francisco, and I said, well, can I guide energy through a torch song in San Francisco at the Mason Street Wine Bar simply by thinking loving divine thoughts? Can I unzip this reality? And I was astounded. People would just melt. And so I began studying the electromagnetic fields of the body. When intentional loving sound is applied, the effect on the human psyche, emotions, and physical body very deeply, and worked with leading scientists. And so that's how I learned about energy, and now I'm doing energy with painting. And as part of my graduate, I had to do a little project, so I did my energy counseling and painted the person's portrait over a month. And I the outcome, by using survey methods that I've learned as a nurse to quantify outputs, I felt that the painting part and giving them a painting at the end held all the catharsis, all the transformation. The physical pain had melted from the bodies. They were ready to take new risks. So I felt having that visual part with the energy work, the very simple Be the Light process that I do, actually synergized. So when I do workshops, and I'll be doing a workshop coming up, that's pretty much what I'll do, is that people will have a little inner process, and they will draw and paint over a three-hour period to move through something to a higher outcome for their well-being.
Yeah, it's like you're raising the vibration. So say someone's working on an issue, and you know, it feels like it can be a breakthrough, like, you know, pushing through, shifting the energy. Yeah. Is like pushing through that, whether you mentioned jealousy, you know, what's behind that, what's the feeling, and transforming that to self-acceptance, self-love, or whatever it is that's needed
in energy
at that time. Yeah, it's fabulous. So
you just
so
said
again,
you breaking the pattern of fear, which has all those ugly little heads and labels.
Yeah.
And you said vibration. You got it. It's all vibration.
Yeah, it's vibration. And it reminds me of having something like you're gifting these people that you've been with for a month a painting that is showing the shift of vibration. You know, I imagine that energy is in that painting. They have something to remind themselves, so when they fall back into old patterns or not feeling good or feeling sick, they can look and go, oh, this is me. This is the potential. This is who I am, who I really am. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when I've been participating in workshops and I lead a meditation, I always have people write or draw afterwards, because things come up in the unconscious. I've had people, because I've participated in with another presenter, and it was a woman was many years ago, and I could hear people snoring, and yet when we went around and shared, they had received something, because in the writing and the drawing afterwards, it would come forward. So you can even be asleep and do this, but it's important to express it so you don't lose that, because it's a lot that happens on a deeper level that you're not always aware of, or it comes later. Sometimes for myself, I take in information cellularly, and it takes a while for it to bounce around my cells all over my body before it comes up to my mind. And a day later, like, oh, this is the message I'm getting. You know, we all have our different ways of doing things.
It takes a little integration time. And if they have something visual, it's like a touchstone. It's like an anchor, and it brings them back to that vibrational state. That's why we like to use the divine feminine archetype images. They bring us back to unconditional love, or whatever specific gift or vibration that goddess is bringing to us, just by looking at it.
So let's talk a little bit more about painting and transforming consciousness. It's kind of what we've been talking about, the importance now in this. You know, we're all kind of wanting, you know, desiring a new consciousness, a collective consciousness in our world. You know, how we can change the world through women particularly being artists.
Well, we begin with ourselves, and it's hard, it's scary. So that's why the painting allows baby steps. And it's just first honoring yourself enough to take that time to feel and express yourself. And for me, we are a fear-based society, and it's scary to even think of being a fully awakened, conscious being. So it's understanding that once you open that door, things are going to be different. However, it's more painful to not open that door. So by having painting or journaling, it's these little steps, because what is required is an upgrading, an acceleration of the human energetic field. And I do believe that we have many wonderful humans here who are modeling that. And I think they're of a different genre, and I call them visitors. And they are able to move heaven to earth through their words, their bodies, and they're very gentle, compassionate with us humans who are a little bit slow and more fear-based. So find a mentor who seems to have a very nice vibration and just trust and work with that person. Then you'll graduate to another person. These things are hard to access from our own limited life experiences. So either a real human person, which is good because most likely they have earned their golden tickets as they've gone through these doors. But the other way to go always is to meditate, to learn to go to the zero point and get very connected with your own voice and guidance, higher self, source, call it whatever you want. And that is the truest, cleanest way, but it's difficult. We don't have that a lot in our churches. Very few people are actually doing that on a consistent basis. But where we are going, and not everybody is choosing to go. I do have a sense that those that are holding a benevolent vision for Earth will co-create a new benevolent society that I'm not sure. It's like living off the grid, growing your own food, like-minded people. All children are like your children, unconditional love. That's the only way we are going to be able to stay and inhabit this earth. The fear-based, I'm not sure how that is going to end up. It most likely will eventually compost itself, looking at the political social milieu at this point. We are seeing the shadow. We are seeing the dark, so we can honestly look. But I'm not sure if this broken system is actually moving forward. So I encourage people to ignite their own light through the arts and to join and weave very sustainable, loving, co-created communities that will hold you no matter what is coming down the pipe.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's up to the individual of what is yours to do. You know, we talk a lot, and other people I've interviewed, of what are your gifts and what are your passions? And, you know, we can't fix it all, you know. But what's my little part? What do I feel passionate about? What can I contribute
right,
towards?
Right, with your storefront, right.
Yeah, whether it's, you know, the environment, it's recycling, it's immigration rights, it's standing I mean, there's so many different things, and because we get overwhelmed with just thinking, oh, I can't possibly change anything. Well, it's little step, you know, everybody takes a little step, everybody does their part, and we together, you know, that changes the collective consciousness. And yeah, we're going through a shadow right now, and it's messy.
Absolutely.
And I think it's something we have to go, what's happening, I think, is things are just being exposed, and that's why it just looks so chaotic and it looks so awful, but things are being exposed for a reason, and that's part of the healing process, is bringing things to the light, you know, so that we're more aware of what's going on now because of all this, in a way, because it was always happening.
I'm a nurse. It's like a debridement. You can't heal until you get the scar tissue off of it. I just thought of a funny story. I had a client, and he's a hypnotist, and he said, oh, I'm tired of working with smokers. I said, well, don't work with smokers. He said, but what would Jesus do? I said, you're not Jesus. You're you. And if you want to, you should follow the thread of what excites you. What type of client that you would like to work with. And we often guilt ourselves and say, oh, I should. No. We don't have to heal and fix everybody. That's the old feminine model. We actually need to get clear with ourselves, set boundaries, protect our own energy so that we can deliver what we really love to do. We can chisel the facets of that until we do have something really sparkly and wonderful that we're excited about offering. That is your very best place to be of service to create what needs to be created.
Yes, and so some of this, we were just talking, I think in my last interview, about self first is not being selfish, that we have to go inside ourselves and heal ourselves. But we don't have to wait. And sometimes there's a waiting, like, oh, I can't do that until I'm totally healed, till I'm totally, you know, reached this point of perfection. And you do it as you're doing it. You know, you take your steps as you're learning and growing, and you know, you don't hold back or wait for it to, okay, I'm ready to come out of the box now. And part of that is that fear of visibility and fear of being seen and doing it wrong and people judging you. But you have to go through and make mistakes and learn as you go. And now it's the time to, step up and be visible. And one of the things that you talk about is needing women in their intuitive core to be speaking up and creating art to bring sanity to the world. So I love that phrase. And why does this bring sanity to the world?
Because we have been manipulated, competition-based and money-based, and it has created, a 1% society. It's not fair. It's not humane. It's not sane. So the feminine intuition knows innately that that is wrong. The way people are interacting, even their own partners going to work, the old masculine way is take care of myself. So I can win, then I can protect and provide and get all these marbles and be top of the hill. Well, not everybody can do that. And so the feminine wave is a spaciousness, slow down, inclusivity, communication, connection, heartfelt caring, perfect balance to this focal, electric, masculine energy. Now, I actually wrote a book, Guy's Guide to the Divine Feminine, because men are bewildered. They think they're doing a good job. They're bringing home the deer, but they don't understand that collectively this massive masculine energy is scorching the earth. It is diminishing the feminine qualities. So this imbalance now is being corrected, and it can't be corrected from our old personalities and our programming. It can only be corrected from accessing our heart through our intuition and connection with our divine source to let the compass guide us into new territory, and then not having the fear to state and say what we see. I mean, the emperor's wearing no clothes. It's that simple. We all have to encourage and support and appreciate each other when we speak the truth. And men, we acknowledge that they have lived this life as wonderfully as they can, and we very gently tell them how we feel. We don't say they're wrong. We say, this makes me feel this way, and I see it as causing this. And then we ask what we need in our homes, in the boardrooms, and then look at all these wonderful, amazing, empowered women that just have walked into our Congress, House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. It's happening. It's truly, it is happening.
Yes, and that's that balance that's needed, but also there's a correction needed to the masculine. We're in an old archetype of masculine, and there is a correct masculine of, you know, for men to discover inside themselves. Mm-hmm. And again, it's that inward journey, just like women are going on this inward journey. Men need to tune to what is the correct masculine energy, you know, which is protective and it's action, but it's correct action.
Yes.
You know, from the heart, just
separate.
As you said. Yeah, they're suffering.
They don't know what
yeah.
their role is. They don't know how to do things anymore, and they feel emasculated. They feel like we don't need them. So if women are having difficulty with their husband, well, you could read my book. You get it from Amazon. But you can check into, there is a woman who is changing the way women think and relate to men. And it's called, it's Alison Armstrong. And she wrote a book, Keys to the Kingdom. And she gives us new language is called Menglish. And she gives us certain words that men need to hear. It's like oxygen, and they all come from the principle of appreciation. If you want a man to change, appreciate what he's doing. Appreciate it more. Appreciate this. Appreciate that. And meanwhile, keep working on your own inner light and let him have his own timing. He will awaken, because if you are holding a higher frequency, he will be in your energetic field while you're sleeping together, while you're talking to your friends. If he is in your vicinity, he will slowly but surely, if you do not push him, shame him, or not appreciate for what he is doing. So the key to the healing of the masculine is awaken women, being compassionate and gentle, and encouraging men to let their divinity be the guiding principle.
That is a great statement. Yeah, awaken women and to allow the man to be who he is, but to bring forth his gifts, appreciating what his gifts are and encouraging those. And mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. What was the author again of Keys to the Kingdom? Allison
Armstrong. And okay. She has various levels of courses. In fact, once you get the basics, you can take the Queen's Course, where she teaches you to hold the field of magnanimous receivership, where you allow people in your environment to massively give you what you need as you radiate out co-creator energy. In other words, it cuts through competition with other women. You're using this Queen's Code in all relationships. Men want to deliver to a woman who holds her energy field powerfully. Otherwise, it slips into more of a codependent. So if you're ready for those principles, yeah, I think you take the basic course first. And I'm just amazed that more women aren't taking her courses. They're fun, and they will shock you to the level that you have emasculated your partners and your children over time.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, that, yeah, especially with women in competition and comparison, it's time to stop that. It's time to recognize mm-hmm. we all have gifts, and we could have, sometimes, you know, okay, I wrote a book, Woman of Wisdom, and it's, you know, about the divine feminine, and there's other authors in it, but I put it all together and I wrote parts of it. And I could think like, oh, there's so many other books out there. Why is mine important? Why would people buy mine? Why should I write mine? But we all have a voice that speaks to people. Yeah, you know, some people, and other people are drawn to other people, and they're all mm-hmm. valued, they're all important, and there's a place for it. There's a place for all of our voices, because we have our particular gifts that we put into it.
I call that resonance.
Yeah.
Someone needs to hear the message in your voice, Chris, in your harmonics. They can receive it and digest it. In fact, the overall, I call it the divine plan. Each of us who are born, who are stepping in these leadership roles, have a predestined number of people that we promise to serve. So by writing your book, people will walk by a whole library of books, and they will pick your book, or they will find you on the website. It's resonant. It's a harmonically driven new divine plan that is unfolding on earth. And that's why I tell people, well, not everybody's supposed to work with me, but guess what? Women who are desperate in the middle of the night, and they go to the website, and one was going to go to the doctor the next day and get antidepressants. Her husband thought she's going crazy. And my name popped up. She got a whole body chill, and now she's an artist, actually divorced. But we are helping each other. We are a touch team of resonance. You can hear it in a person's voice, or the resonance of their written word, or their artwork. And that is your tribe as you go to the next level of your conscious expansion.
And I call what happens too is synchronicities of the people you're supposed to meet. Like, and it's part, it ties in with the intention that you're talking about, even doing the art. When you put an intention out, like, I want to meet people who are artists. Or I want to meet people who are writers. I want to meet, I need this in my life. And guess what? The universe starts providing. And so part of it's paying attention, because messages will come up. Just like you said, the woman went to her computer and your name popped up. Things like that happen. Like, who you meet, you went to the, I don't know, you went to a workshop, you go somewhere, you meet some people, and it's just synchronistic because you put the intention out there. And so a lot of it is paying attention.
It's like
also
a telephone system.
Yeah, it is.
It's like an unseen telephone system where we're calling each other in our sleep, in our, you know, in the etheric. A woman texted me today and said, oh, remember I wanted for you to be my mentor for sound healing. And I said 2 days ago I was wondering what her number was, because we're doing sound events here. So she came over 15 minutes and we worked out her mentorship. We heard each other calling each other in the etheric, the big telephone system in the sky.
Yeah, I love thinking about it. I need to talk to somebody, and then they call me. That's just saves me time. But, you know,
that's speeding up.
But what I want to put out there is we're putting out a call for people what your workshop would resonate with people who want to be expressive, who want to maybe touch into that artist in themselves. And not that they're, we're all our artists, you know, and as some people don't think of themselves as artists, or it's been squashed when they were a kid, like, you can't draw, what, you know, so you stop trying. Everybody can create, everybody can put their pencil, pen, coloring pencils, whatever, to paper and then come from within themselves. And that's what you're going to be leading people in through meditation and through just expressing. And so people are going to resonate with that. They're going to be drawn when they go to the website and see what different workshops to go to. There's 4 workshops in the morning and 4 in the afternoon, and people they'll be drawn. They're just naturally drawn to the right one workshop that's for them.
Yeah.
And so we have different topics, you know, where we have the art ones, we have the movement ones, we have the spiritual awakening kind of workshops, and just a variety, and people will be drawn to what's needed in their life. And sometimes they get something they don't expect, you know, it just works that way. It's how the universe works. But it's perfect.
It's a beautifully balanced conference, and I congratulate you for serving the Divine Feminine community so deeply for so long. I feel honored to be included. Thank you, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing your stories and your wisdom. And it just sounds very exciting for me to have you at the conference. And I know people, they love to take something home with them. So it's always good. And there's some workshops that are, there may be about writing, but you're going to take home also a little memento. They, you know, a lot of people will end up doing some sort of artistic thing in a workshop, and you have that to take home as a memoir of the conference, and it's meaningful for you. You put your energy into it, and it reminds you of, you know, you look at it and you go, oh yeah, I did that at Women of Wisdom, and that's when I became aware of I need to do this in my life, and my life changed. I mean, a lot of women's lives have changed, you know, and we've had thousands of women come over the years, the 27 years. We used to be 9 days long. We just can't do that anymore.
Oh, my goodness.
So we really dove into the Divine Feminine for 9 days, and it was fabulous, but it's just not possible at this stage to do that.
How rich.
But it doesn't matter. We still have that same energy in the 2 days, and it's the connecting with women, connecting with each other. We have community meals, so we have a two-hour lunch break where we eat together, everybody who's there that day, and then we have some activities. We're all together in one big room. We're going to have Vicky Dodd, who does sound nutrition, and we're going to have interplay, and so we're going to have some very fun things when we're all together, and then we go off to workshops that are small and intimate, where we really do go into deeper work for 3 hours. You know, it's not like a normal conference, a regular, that you go to and you're in a room with 500 people, and you just listen to people talk, and you might have breakout sessions, but you still have 50, 100 people with a person at the front talking to you, and that's not how we do it. It's very participatory, very experiential. So I just want to invite people to go check out the website, womenofwisdom.org, and see all that there that we have to offer. So, and also check out, again, Jan Jorgensen's workshop is Saturday afternoon, February 16th, and it's called The Arts, Our Door to the Divine. Another thing we've added this year, the Friday night, we're going to do a musical. Pamela Gerke is a WOW member, and she's written musicals before that's performed at Women of Wisdom. And this one is on the life of Florence Nightingale, and it's her 200th birthday in 2019. And so she's created this musical, and it's going to be Friday night. It's a separate ticket, and men are invited to that. And all this will be happening at North Seattle College, and that will be February 15th. And then for people who come Saturday, we've got a fabulous banquet. So all the meals are included in your price. And we have a banquet with entertainment with Naomi Wachera, and she's a Kenyan Afro folk singer. Fabulous, great musician. And also Sikone Nemanya, who's from Burundi, is going to be sharing her story of working through adversity and how we can overcome adversities. Very powerful woman. And so that's going to be Saturday night. So lots of things, lots of just time to connect with other women. And it's been a great weekend. Again, February 15th to the 17th at Seattle, North Seattle College. And go to womenofwisdom.org. Well, we're going to close off now. I want to thank you, Jan, so much for being on the show today and look forward to meeting you in
thank
February.
Thank you for having me. I do too as well. Thank you, Chris. Take care.
Okay. We'll be back on the show tomorrow with another presenter, so stay tuned.